Amen. Well, today's, or this weekend's a special weekend. It's what we call Memorial Day. You know, in the world that we live in, most people think Memorial Day is just the beginning of summer. It's a time where we can have, you know, barbecues and maybe hang out at the pool, sitting on the porch, maybe go to the lake. I mean, a lot of people are probably at the lake today. I know a number of folks are probably there. Maybe go to the beach. Obviously, here in Oklahoma, we don't have that many beaches. There are some lakes that actually have some sandy beaches there. I used to tell my kids, oh, we're at the beach, you know. It's actually Lake Eufaula, but, you know, it's okay, you know. They didn't know the difference. You can build a sandcastle at Lake Eufaula just like you can at Destin, Florida. The sand's a little bit different, but it's sand. You know, gets all over you, whatever. I guess Keystone has some sand as well. So if you really want to experience beach things, you can do that. But, you know, also, too, I have always, for me, Memorial Day weekend has always been about motorsports. You know, today is the greatest spectacle in motorsports, Indianapolis 500. I have the opportunity to attend that many, many different times. My son's Cameron's there now. And if I wasn't preaching today, I'd be there as well because he called me last week and said, hey, we have an extra ticket if you want to come, Dad. I'm like, well, I'm speaking. So I'm decided to give up Indianapolis 500 to be with you guys. So, you know, it's... Plus, I would have to drive there and things like that. But Memorial Day is not just a three-day weekend. It's not just a time to celebrate. Memorial Day is here for a reason. It's a time to remember the men and women that have died in battle fighting for this country so that we could be free. Now, many people don't actually know the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. Veterans Day is where we honor veterans that served, you know, in military service, whether they're alive or dead. But Memorial Day is the day that we honor men and women that have died and sacrificed for our freedom. And so that's the difference. But, you know, a lot of times it seems Memorial Day is more about us than about remembering. Now, you know, but we should always remember because there is a reason that we are free, and that's because people have sacrificed their life. For some people that want to know how Memorial Day got its start, because a lot of people don't. You don't really learn this a lot in school, maybe because Memorial Day actually happens after school is usually dismissed or whatever. But originally Memorial Day was known as Decoration Day because it was a time set aside to honor the nation's Civil War dead by decorating their graves. It was first widely observed on May 30th, 1868, during the celebration of Decoration Day. General James Garfield, made a special speech at Arlington National Cemetery, which 5,000 participants helped to decorate the graves of more than 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried in the cemetery. After World War I, Memorial Day observance began to honor not only Civil War veterans, but those who had died in all American wars. And in 1971, Congress declared Memorial Day a national holiday to be celebrated the last Monday in May. So in this day, we honor every soldier who died to make us free. Nearly 3 million casualties, nearly 3 million people gave their life so that we could be free. And actually, the number one battle that still has the most casualties is the Civil War, obviously, because of the fight between ourselves, which sometimes you feel like a Civil War is happening today in the way that we live in. But over 650,000 soldiers died in the Civil War, but 3 million overall during all the wars and all the conflicts since then. But because men and women have died for this country, we have the right to preach God's word freely. We have the right to live at peace in our own homes. We have the right to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness. And thank God for all those that died to make us free. And we ought to have a day to remember their sacrifice. We ought to offer a memorial for them. But at the same token, we also ought to remember the one who has set us free from spiritual tyranny. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus, God entered the world. In Jesus, God expressed his love for us. Through Jesus, we are made acceptable to God. We celebrate our Memorial Day once a year to remember those who died for freedom. But every day should be a celebration of the memorial memorial of Christ Jesus. For the Christian, every day should be a memorial day. You know, one thing that I often remember about my grandfather, one thing that probably most of you probably never really experienced, but I don't know how many times we'll be just driving in the car between meetings, even going to lunch or different times, and he would just say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." I mean, all throughout the day, I would hear him say those words, "Thank you, Jesus." And I guess I got that same habit because all day long, you know, at some point in time, I don't think a day goes by where I don't thank Jesus for everything he's done for me. You know, a lot of times we don't really take time, except for maybe Easter or Christmas, or maybe, you know, during the first Sunday of every month, whenever we celebrate, you know, his death, burial, and resurrection through our communion Sundays. But every day should really be a memorial day for us Christians, because, you know, if it wasn't for what Jesus did, we wouldn't be free. You know, thank God for what the soldiers did for us, but thank God for what Jesus did for us. Because you know what? If Jesus wouldn't died on the cross for us, it wouldn't have mattered what the soldiers would have done. We still wouldn't be free. We still wouldn't live an eternal life. You know, so for the Christian, every day should be Memorial Day. You know, International Memorial Day, we mourn the loss. We remember the lives and are thankful for the sacrifice. Considering what Jesus means to us, let's examine the memorial we offer to him in conjunction to this National Memorial Day. So with Memorial Day being tomorrow, I want to take some time and think about a topic that's central to the Christian belief, a topic that's really the foundation of our very belief structure, the topic of sacrifice. Specifically, I want us to ponder and consider and to dwell on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. When we do that, when we take time to consider the suffering of Jesus, when we think deeply on the cross, at Calvary, we actually come away with something that impacts our daily life, something that impacts our relationships with God and others. When we ponder the sacrifice of Jesus, we come away with a deeper understanding of God's love. Amen. Amen. I mean, think about when they were mocking Jesus, and he sat there on the cross with his back bleeding, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. I mean, they don't even know. They don't even understand. You know, they don't understand what I'm doing, that I'm doing this for them." The sacrifices he made. Now, obviously, we can see movies like The Passion of the Christ, and we can see those things, but we really don't understand the agony that he had. And you know, realize that he did that for you and I. He was not a sinner. He was a saint, but he became a sinner for us. He died on our cross. He didn't die on his own cross. He died on our cross. He sacrificed his life. You know, and we know the scripture says, John 15:13, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. Now, obviously that was talking about Jesus, but that could also be talking about the men and women who sacrificed their life so that we can live freely. But, you know, Jesus just didn't tell us about his love. He showed us his love through his sacrifice. There is no greater love. I mean, you know, he loves us beyond measure. Obviously it says in 1 John 3:16, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. You know, because we've experienced the love of God, we can also show the love of God to a lost and a dying and hurting world. And I believe that, you know, the world that we live in, I think about this all the time. I don't know where I would be without Jesus. I don't know how I would make it, especially in the world that we live in, with the economy, with everything going the way it is. I mean, think about if I didn't have Jesus, if Jesus didn't sacrifice his life, how much different my life would be. Many of us probably wouldn't even be here because, you know what? By his stripes, we were healed. And we wouldn't have been healed if it wasn't for Jesus' sacrifice. You know, love is sacrifice. Love is dying to self. Jesus sacrificed for us. He not only tells us what love is, he shows us what love is. The cross of Christ, that hideous display of human torture, shame, degradation, is exactly what was needed to communicate with us what true love really is. John 3:16 and 17, the New Living Translation says this, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." You know, God showed forth his love by sending Jesus to us. But this sending Jesus to us was not enough. Jesus had to fulfill the plan that God gave him. And he was just like us. He was a mere mortal. He was a man. He could have made his own choices. In fact, he didn't want to die. The night before, you know, he was taking the Calvary, he actually cried out and said, "God, if there's another way, can we do it that way?" But there is no other way. He was the supreme sacrifice. He was the one that was going to have to sacrifice his life for you and I. That was the only way. And through him and through his blood, we can have eternal life. But we have so much more than just an eternal life. One of the scriptures that I quote a lot, John 10:10, is not one I've given them, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I know I point out all the time what the devil came for, but Jesus came that we can have an abundant life. If Jesus wouldn't have came, our life wouldn't be abundant. You say, "Well, Craig, but my life isn't abundant." Well, that's your fault. Because he came for you to have an abundant life. And if you're not living an abundant life, you need to get the purpose that he came. He came so that you could have happiness. Just like these people died so you could have the pursuit of happiness. Now, pursuit of happiness and having happiness is two different things. You have a right to be happy, but you have to choose to be happy. You say, "Well, Craig, how can I be happy with all the things going on?" Because the greater one lives on the inside. It doesn't matter what's going on the outside when you know who lives on the inside. If you know who lives on the inside. Romans chapter 5, 6 through 8, New Living says this. "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners." Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love by sending Christ to die for us when we were still sinners. You know, God showed his love for us. He just didn't say it. He just didn't proclaim it. He showed it by sending Jesus Christ to this world. But like I said, Jesus was the one who had to die. But God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, the Bible says. Not while we were trying to be good. Not while we were trying to improve ourselves. You know, not while we were reading self-help books. Not while we were believing in ourselves. Not while we were telling ourselves we were really good on the inside. While we were still sinners, he came. Denying him, rebelling against him. While we were still, you know, we didn't even love him, he still loved us. He loved us no matter what. And I personally believe, this is my belief, obviously it would be a real boring world if I was the only person in this world. But if I was the only person in this world, Jesus Christ still would have died on the cross just for me. And we need to understand that he loves us that much. And there is nothing that you can ever do according to the word that will separate you from the love of God. God loves you no matter what you've ever done in life, no matter how bad you've been. You know, I know there was a song back in the 70s, "Bad, Bad Leroy Brown, the baddest man in the whole town." All right, it doesn't matter. God still loves Leroy Brown and everybody else in the whole town. Doesn't matter how bad you've been. Doesn't matter how good you've been. God still loves you, whether you're good, whether you're bad. You know, now I know other people might not love you because you're bad, but God does. God loves you no matter what. There's nothing that you can do. I mean, he sent his son when we were yet sinners. It didn't matter whether we loved him. He loved us that much. You know, I always like to think about that he loved us that much. All right, not just that much, not just that much, but that much. That Jesus loved us, that God loved us, that they were willing to sacrifice. You know, Christ died for us. The cross of Christ is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Action and demonstration of God's love toward us. It's not just a simple sacrifice of normal proportion. I mean, think about the stripes that were laid on his back. You know, and by his stripes, we were healed. And we talk about healing a lot around here. Some people don't necessarily believe in that healing. But you know what? Praise God that we were healed 2,000 years ago. But we weren't just healed 2,000 years ago. We were set free. We were given the authority. I mean, you know, because Jesus went down and whipped the devil. We'll talk about that in a moment. Anyway, but realize that people didn't take Jesus' life. He laid his own life down. He could have done something about it, but he didn't because he knew he had to. John 10, 17 and 18 says this, "The Father loves me because I sacrificed my life," to Jesus talking here, "so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded." You know, Jesus laid down his life for us. He could have done something about it. You know, he could have, called down the angels or whatever he needed to do. But he voluntarily laid his life down. No one took it from him. The soldiers didn't take it from him. The people didn't take it from him. You know, and I know that we kind of, we wonder, why did the citizens choose to save a sinner, Barabbas, over Jesus? And the reason is because that was to fulfill prophecy. And many things happen today that are just fulfilling prophecy. And we kind of wonder, well, why did this happen? Or why did that? Because God said so. It's going to happen. And as we see things going on, and I'm here to tell you, according to the Word of God, things are not going to get better. The Bible says things are going to get worse and worse. People are going to get worse and worse. But you know what? The time is to look up because revival draweth nigh. The time is short. Soon and very soon, he will be coming again. You know, but what we need to do, according to the Word, is occupy till he comes. How do we occupy? We go out and touch this lost and dying and hurting world with the love of Jesus Christ, setting people free, saving people, healing people, changing people's lives. That's what it's all about, showing the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying and hurting generation. But you know, when we talk about memorial, we talk about remembrance, I always go back to the communion time. We always read these communion scriptures. I know today's not communion, but I do want to read them today because you know what? Every time I think about memorial, I always think about remembrance. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, Paul talking, he says this, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and thanked God for it. Then he broke into pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance as me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes." Now, you don't have to actually take communion every day. You know, as often as we do, we need to remember Jesus. But even when we're not taking communion, even when we're not breaking the bread and drinking the juice, we can still remember what Jesus did. We can still remember that his body was broken on the cross so our body could be healed. We can still remember his blood was shed on the cross so that we could have an eternal life, so that our sins would be forgiven. You know, but before that time, they had to sacrifice the sin, you know, lambs and goats and rams and all these things in the Old Testament, but he became the ultimate sacrifice. He was the redeemer of all redeemers. Because see, before that time, every time you messed up, you had to go sacrifice again and again and again. But he became our supreme sacrifice, that once and for all, that we do not have to sacrifice anymore. We don't have to do anything, but thank God that he did everything. All we have to do is accept him as our Lord and as our Savior. But we should not only take Memorial Day, or not only take, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter or our Communion Sunday days to remember what Jesus did. We should remember what he did every day. You know, just a simple utter praise, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, even when we go through times that seem like they're bad times, thank you, Jesus, that you're even there. What would I do if I didn't know the word? What would I do? You know, because if we didn't have Jesus, we wouldn't have the word of God. Every day I quote the word of God. Every day, you know, I mention the word of God. Every day, and if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have that word. I don't know what I would do. So, you know, every time I think about remembering anybody, I think about remembering Jesus. Because that's the most important person that was ever walked the face of the earth. And thank God for the nearly 3 million soldiers that have died so that we can be free. But thank God for the one that gave the eternal sacrifice so that we could be free spiritually. You know, but one thing that's different about Jesus than the soldiers is today we can go visit the graves of the ones that sacrificed for our natural freedoms. We can go put flowers on their graves. We can put American flags on their graves. You know, even if we don't know their names, you know, we have the tomb of the unknown soldier. We might not know their names, but we know that they are buried. We know that they sacrificed. But we can go to the grave of our Lord and Savior and find out that he's no longer there. See, whenever we celebrate Jesus, we don't just celebrate the death of Jesus, but we celebrate the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Because he lives, the song says, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I can face the future because he lives. You know, and I know that's a song and we sing it a lot, but we should think about that. We have what we have because Jesus lives. And, you know, and when we're thinking about memorial, we think about, it's not just about his death. It's about his life. It's about he is still with us. He's still dwelling on the inside of us. And wherever we go, he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. 24/7, 365, this is leap year, so 366. He's there with us all the time. All we have to do is call upon him and he will help us. The greater one lives on the inside of us. And so when we think about memorial, it's not to be sad about he died, because he just didn't die. He rose again. He's at the right hand of the Father, and now everything is under his feet. He has given us the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and demonic creatures. And you know, if you read the book, The Believer's Authority, we find out we have authority. It's all because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we can have what we can have. Because of Jesus, we can make it through today. Because of Jesus, we can make it through tomorrow. Because of Jesus, we are the head and not the tail. Because of Jesus, we are above and not beneath. Because of Jesus, we are a winner and not a loser. Because of Jesus, we can get through all the tragedies in life. Because of Jesus, it doesn't matter what's happening all around about us. Because of Jesus, it doesn't matter that this country seems like it's falling apart. Because the greater one lives on the inside of us, and we're going to get through it. We're going to make it. I know things don't seem like that. Like everyone says, well, Craig, it's just getting bad. It's just getting bad. But you know what? I have hope because I know the one who gives me hope. I know it's getting better. You say, well, yeah, but people don't seem like getting better. I mean, have you seen the hatred toward Israel? Have you read the Bible? It's all in Revelation. I mean, we know it's going to happen. Now I realize, didn't realize that hatred in America toward Israel. But you know what? I mean, you know, that's just the devil being the devil. But thank God that we can show the love of Jesus to a lost and dying and hurting world. And I think there is no better time to show forth Jesus than now. Because I tell you what, you know, in the natural, people are hurting. People are trying to figure out how to get through life. I mean, you know, homelessness is at an all-time high right now. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of veterans that you know, they didn't die in combat, but they're here and they sacrifice, you know, their life to be able to give us freedom. We treat them terribly today. You know, but Jesus lives. Jesus lives. You know, it's a different memorial because, yes, you know, but, you know, think about, though, our loved ones still live as well. Our loved ones hadn't died. We're going to see them again. We're going to, you know, every day we're one step closer to seeing our loved ones again. You know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about my grandfather and the things he taught me. And I am who I am today, spiritually, because of who taught me. From a spiritual standpoint, my grandfather is more like my spiritual father. But from a natural standpoint, I am who I am because of my father. He taught me how to be a dad. And we'll talk more about that on Father's Day. That's the next time I preach, by the way. Anyway, actually, the next time I'll be in town, I'll be preaching, you know, other places. But we'll talk about more about that on Father's Day. But our Savior lives. Our Savior lives. We can't go put a flag on his grave. We can't go put a wreath on his grave because there is no grave. He lives on the inside of us. And like I said, there's no better words we can say than that song. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We can get through it. There's nothing that's going to stop us. Whatever things seem like they're impossible, all we have to do instead of looking at the outside is look to the inside. The greater one lives through us. So on this Memorial Day, as you're having your cookout, and some of you online, maybe you're going to the beach here in Oklahoma. We're not going to the beach because if you're in this room, you're not at the beach, okay? Maybe you're going to be at the lake. Maybe you're going to be at the pool or, you know, or whatever you're going to be. But while you're doing that, I do want you to remember that somebody sacrificed so you could have freedom to be able to do that. There are countries here in this world that people can't live free like that. They can't just decide to go here and go there or whatever. They have to be told what to do. And I'm here to tell you that I'm going to make sure with everything I have that our country is not going to turn like that, because that's what the devil wants. As you see things going on, you know, in America, that's what he wants. But you know what? But praise God and thank you for those that have served, and thank you for those who have lost loved ones, you know, to casualties. But we also should remember the greater one. The greater one that did die, that did sacrifice, but he rose again. And he lives on the inside of us. And so when we utter those words, thank you, Jesus, or for you, Portuguese, obrigado, Jesus. When we say thank you, Jesus, we're saying thank you, Jesus, for your death. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. But thank you, Jesus, that you still live and that you have given us these freedoms that we celebrate today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you. We thank you, Father, for the men and women that have sacrificed their life so that we could be free. But Father God, we also thank you that you loved us so much that you send your only begotten Son to come to this earth to die. So not only could we live an eternal life, but so we could face tomorrow, so we could have what we needed to have. You came, you sent your Son to come so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And we thank you that as we're celebrating the lives of men and women that have given their life for our freedom, we also celebrate the life of Jesus Christ that came and he died and he rose again. But Father God, today with heads bowed and eyes closed, if anyone is here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They don't know the freedom that I know. If you're here today and you said, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to today, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. You've never been saved. Or maybe here today and you say, Craig, I've been in church a long time, but you know, my grandfather talked about what he calls a no-so experience. Just because you come to church doesn't make you a Christian. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. A great example, just because you live in a garage doesn't make you a car. All right? If you've never had what my grandfather calls a no-so experience, if you don't know whether you've been born again or not, then this morning you can know. You can know beyond a shadow of doubt. Just lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and you said, Craig, I know what it is to be saved. You know, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I've kind of turned my back. I've walked away. And today I want to publicly rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. We don't want to miss anybody. If anyone is here that needs to be saved, that needs to have a no-so experience or wants to rededicate their life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I don't see any hands. Father God, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here. And we thank you if anyone or watching online, and if anyone is here or watching online that does not know your son Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, that you'll send laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they will be saved in the name of Jesus. Amen. You want to sing something?
Because he is the living.
Amen. Praise God. Like I said, it is okay to have fun time on Memorial Day weekend, but do remember those that gave their life for this holiday. It's not just a holiday so you can enjoy the summer. So, you know, a lot of people think it's the first part of summer, but it's a holiday because someone paid the ultimate price. But when you're thinking about that, think about Jesus Christ that paid the ultimate price, but no longer is he dead. He's alive and he's with you. Amen. Don't forget tonight, 6 p.m., we have service again tonight. First-time visitors, we're glad to have you. The connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you and give you a special gift. The pastors are headed to the door. You can read where they're going to be. Don Denise is going to be in the north door. Pat and Amanda is going to be in the south door. I'll be at the east door. Bill and Tony is going to be at the west door. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Memorial Day, and we'll see you tonight.
He picked me up.